And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday. That feels like a Monday, but it's Tuesday, May 27th, 1:07 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And Bridget, did you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend? Weather was absolutely picture perfect.
Yeah, I hope everybody had a good weekend. For those who had the opportunity to take it, there's no doubt that plenty of folks needed to work. We've got plenty of farming going on. I was out to Bismarck on Saturday and back. I saw a number of people back in the field. And even today, an event I was supposed to attend tonight is getting postponed a week just because folks want to continue to wrap up planting. There's still corn going in the ground a little bit, but a lot has switched to soybeans. We've got dry beans as well as sunflowers. And I feel like we're really hitting some records in sunflower planting lately because we have, it's hard to find seed. Folks are planting seed pretty regularly, so you're not exactly finding it easy to gather up sunflower seed right now. But thanks to all those who keep doing that work. Really appreciate it.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And boy, I tell you, weather has cooperated over the last 4 to 5 days around much of the area. Have you heard anybody, I mean, with last week's rain, Bridget, anybody really in need of any rain? Any complaints?
Not until we finish planting. If you can finish planting and then we can go forward, that would be helpful because right now, you know, that top, there's still moisture in those top 3-4 inches, but I've had several folks comment on the fact that the drought monitor has not updated yet. It still looks like we have areas of abnormally dry. Now, if we take into consideration some of our subsoil moisture or lack thereof, that could easily explain why we're seeing more of an abnormally dry yet on the drought monitor that hasn't changed.
Right, right. And there is a little bit of rain in the forecast here for, well, the next 24 hours. We're not looking at a whole lot, but there is at least a chance for a few pop-up showers. On radar right now, there's some showers out around Lakes Country. We're seeing a few pop-up showers in the Northern Valley as well. And we'll continue to see these increase as we head throughout the day. And they're moving from east to west. Not often do we see that. But out in Lakes Country right now between Detroit Lakes, Pelican Rapids, some showers and thunder showers moving eastward or westward towards the valley. Also a few showers and embedded thunder showers between Hunter and Arthur. Also up around Cooperstown, all those moving to the west and northwest. So we will see an increase in coverage of afternoon showers and thunder showers today. With temps in the low 70s, we're not looking at a lot of precip out of this, a tenth of an inch. Some spots might pick up a touch more than that, but again, not too much. And then those come to an end after the sun goes down. Some of those hanging down, though, in Lakes Country, with temps overnight dropping off into the upper 40s. And then Wednesday, rinse and repeat, pretty similar pattern, although I think even less coverage tomorrow and most of that in Lakes Country. But again, can't rule out a few of those in the valley with low 70s. And then we dry things out for Thursday and Friday, and we warm things up with light winds. Temperatures on Thursday about 80 and then low to mid 80s on Friday. Feeling a little more summer-like. We'll kick the breeze up a bit on Wednesday out of the west-southwest at about 10 to 20. And then the weekend looks summer-like with temps in the mid-80s, only a slight chance, and I'm talking about a 20% chance of an isolated storm on Saturday. Other than that, the weekend looks dry and mild, so great planting weather. And then next week, things do change. There's two big storm systems for next week. One of them coming in Monday and Tuesday. It looks like Monday night into Tuesday morning. We'll see showers and thunderstorms. Some of those could be on the strong side. We're looking at about a half inch to 3/4 of an inch of rain from that. And then the bigger storm coming in late next week as we get a chance for severe weather coming in towards the end of next week with the possibility of heavy rain. So I know we don't want to see heavy rain, but I mean, a lot of the crops are going to be done planted by then, I'm guessing, Bridget, at least a majority of them by the middle of next week.
There's a majority except for replants. So if we're in a situation where we have, excuse me, I feel like I want to cough and can't. If we are in a situation where we are anticipating that some of that crop was damaged early on from wind, we've had some hail, yep, or we've had rain, heavy rain that washed some of it out, we could be looking at potentially having to do some replants. So focusing mainly on corn or soybeans. And we're going to see what that looks like. I think right now folks are making those estimations on what they need to do if a replant situation is called for or not. So right now, or I should say starting on Saturday, I think there were a lot of agronomists, crop scouts, and farmers in their fields assessing their situations because it finally dried out enough to be able to get out there and look around.
Yeah, and at least the next couple of days outside of these spotty showers should be pretty dry. So we'll continue to dry things out even all the way through the weekend. And the wind, that will help a little. The winds will pick up a little bit as we head into the weekend as well. So that'll help drying as well. We're getting some reports out in Lakes Country, just checking radar right now, of some pea-sized hail. That's not really what we want to see. But some of these storms, if they do pack a little bit of a punch, and there's a couple right now just south of Vergas, moving towards Pelican Rapids, some of those might contain a little bit of pea-sized hail with it. So don't be surprised, again, if you see some of those as we head throughout the afternoon with the heating of the day. Some of those storms could be a little bit stronger. But in general, we're not looking at, again, a whole lot of rainfall. The most I see out of any of these is up to a quarter inch, and I think that's pushing it. So generally between a tenth and a quarter.
Well, we're just going to see where it lands. But right now, folks are enjoying what they have. Just a little bit of a breeze, some sunshine, moderate temperatures. I mean, personally, for our Here We Grow project, this is wonderful wheat growing weather. Let the wheat grow. I plan to go out to our field later this afternoon as well and keep an eye on it. When I was there last Thursday with one of our Here We Grow sponsors, Gowan USA, our wheat truly was at about a 1 to 2 leaf stage. With the weather that we have had, I anticipate we're easily at a 2 to 3 leaf, maybe even pushing a little bit faster. But I'll check that out when I get out to the field today and let us know what it looks like.
And, you know, I mean, the warm summer-like weather, that's going to be pushing up pretty quick here over the next week, I bet.
Oh, I think it should. You know, one thing, the moisture that we got is helpful. And this would often be a point where folks would start thinking about a fungicide. You know, what are my early season leaf diseases like tan spot? Should I have a fungicide? Should I not? In my world, don't skip that. That's probably your cheapest insurance, is to keep that early season leaf disease control, particularly for tan spot. So I'll ask Farmer Jim if he's still looking ahead to that. And or he may be planning certainly for something at heading to make sure we protect against any diseases later on in the season. So we'll see what it looks like. But to those sponsors who are a part of our Here We Grow project, we say an incredible thank you to you for what you're doing to help us out. And one of them would be Cotacol Fuels and Propane. I really had a fun discussion on Friday with Justin, who's the CEO of Cotacol. It was kind of neat to just be able to ask him a ton of questions, everything from how he can help farmers bring bulk fuels like diesel, propane, et cetera, and also bulk oils to the farm and more. So if you are wanting to make sure that you can keep your farm rolling and fueled, you're going to want to talk to the folks over at Cotacol Fuels and Propane. And then Ellingson Companies, because they are not only involved in drainage, but let's say you have a rural water project you want to be a part of. If you have questions when it comes to some of the lobbying efforts that are being made at the state and federal level when it comes to water, I tell you what, Ellingson Companies does a lot of that. They're generally on the forefront. And thank you to Levi Otis. He sent me an email for, in fact, a Fargo-Moorhead Chamber of Commerce meeting that's coming up. It's going to talk about what we've been seeing legislatively, and it involves the corn growers and so much more. So thanks for everyone who keeps us up to date on those types of things. And again, as part of our Here We Grow project. Today, we are filling in with a lot of guests. A lot of things are going on. One is that we've got coming up our On the Auction Block segment, and that will be with Brad Olstead. He is with the Steffes Group. I know Brad is traveling today, so we'll catch him by phone, and we'll get a chance to visit with him. And then secondly, we will catch up with Ray Grabansky. He is with Progressive Ag in Fargo. Progressive Ag also being one of our Here We Grow sponsors. But more importantly, there's always a lot going on in the markets when it comes to commodity prices and so forth right now. And as much as I love to see wheat grow, some folks say, why? It's not worth anything. Well, let's talk to Ray about that and what we can look forward to in the future when it comes to our wheat crop. So be lots to discuss as our day rolls on. And then at some point, Dean, we've got to touch on this story, and that is that UC Davis researchers are figuring out a way to remove a certain gluten protein from wheat so that for all of you with celiac disease,
wow,
you can go back to eating gluten. So I think that would be excellent. I have some family members with celiacs, and so this could be great news for them. We're going to want to touch on that when we get
back. How advanced is this?
They actually have seed, and they are preparing to start bringing it to commercialization.
Wow.
Look, it's really fun to see how they're doing that.
Probably a little more expensive, I'm guessing, but I mean, hey, that's great.
Everything is to start at a new release,
right?
And then, you know, once you know what your market competition is, et cetera, you'll see where that price lands. But for the moment, that's what it looks like. So that's going to be kind of neat for folks.
Good deal. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk about that and so much more. Again, stay tuned. We've got On the Action Block with Brad Olstad of Steffes Group right after this. If you've been curious, what could Tech Support Farm do for you? Well, there's a couple ways to find out. He's done recent podcasts with not only the Shark Farmer podcast, so check it out there. He's also been on Shark Farmer's XM radio show, and he's had an opportunity to be on GFY, that's the Go Farm Yourself podcast. And so check those out, because if you're looking for questions that you want answers to, Chris is probably going to be able to answer them for you in those podcasts, or you can check them out at techsupportfarm.com. And today, one of my favorite segments, it is On the Auction Block with Steffes Group. Oh, hello, Brad Olstad. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. It's kind of fun getting to listen to that. I miss being a live auctioneer, and I'm happy to announce that we're going to be doing some live sales this summer, and it's always nice to get back in the saddle again.
Oh, man, that is awesome. By the way, you were on the road today for Steffes Group. Brad Olstad, where are you headed to?
Well, right now I'm just about into Mason City, Iowa. We have a large dealer equipment auction for Kibble Equipment that we're getting ready to do, and it's a nice auction. They're being very proactive and aggressive in regards to moving this iron. So it's going to be a wonderful opportunity to buy a combine, buy a large frame track tractor, a row crop tractor, loader tractor. We got a good selection, and we're super excited about doing this project.
Well, you're right. There's a bit of overstock on some lots right now. So nice to see Kibble wanting to get ahead of that. But as you mentioned, this could be a chance at combines, loader tractors, and more. For Steffes Group, where can folks be looking for those items? How can they bid with you, Brad, if they don't want to drive to Mason City, Iowa?
Well, they just got to go to our website. We control our own destiny. Scott's been very proactive in the development of the website. We're super proud of it with our tech team. It's a wonderful website to visit, and we got pictures, we got information, we got all of the things necessary, so somebody that's a long-distance bidder and buyer can feel comfortably and securely about bidding on our auction and our platform. It's super easy to do. So,
Brad, I would venture a guess that some of these auctions that are coming up, you might find some equipment like construction. I know a lot of farmers who now have payloaders, backhoes, etc. Is that still a fairly strong market price-wise, or how does that look as we've seen some, some highs and lows going on in, say, the combine market right now?
Well, it's just like all markets, and we're seeing a little bit of a slowing of the construction. Not necessarily a panic mode or anything like that, but there has been some softening on certain segments of the construction industry. And some of that is just basically inventory. They produced a lot. Some of these contractors now are doing more leasing and renting, and the turn is becoming a lot more transient in regards to coming back, so lease returns. And so that's softening some of the prices, but, you know, there's still good active demand. Don't get me wrong. It's just like every market, it ebb and flows, and it's always about supply and demand. And once we get some clarity and get some of these things on the political side, things figured out, I think it's going to be very well as far as future market and prices.
You know, I'm kind of, oh, go ahead, Dean. You were going to say something.
No, well, that's okay. I was chatting with our other guest in here, so I'm sorry if you guys already covered this. Brad, what about are the tariffs going to have any impact on auctioning at all in terms of parts or new equipment or just equipment coming across the border at all?
Well, right now we're still being cautiously optimistic that things are going to be okay. Right now, it hasn't affected us. It's always been a talking point, and we're prepared as an auction company to address any of those types of things. My biggest concern would be is if these inventories start getting checked, meaning that, okay, we're not producing as much. I talked to one large dealership group. 2 years ago, they sold 35 new planters. Last year, they sold 2 new planters. This year, they don't know if they're going to sell any, okay? So that's a trend that says, okay, what's going to happen here when this planter market starts tightening up a little bit? Prices then are going to strengthen. So availability, parts, things like that, all become part of the whole, you know, marketing theme. But right now, we're still not seeing any adverse effects of proposed tariffs.
Good, good.
Well, let me ask you this, Brad. Are you going to be having a business sale somewhere where I can go in and I can buy all the parts so I can be using those instead of having to worry about just buying the whole piece of equipment? Anything like that coming up on the auction block soon?
No, we don't have anything like that just yet. But, you know, it's something in the auction business. There's always an opportunity. And, you know, when we get that opportunity, we make sure we tell the world about it and everybody can come and participate. So you'll be the first to know.
I'd like that because I still have enough of my grandpa in me that I need that bucket of bolts that don't fit anything and the bent nails, et cetera, right? So any farm kid knows that bucket. It's in the shop somewhere.
I tell you, that's some of the fondest memories when you get to go and see some of these older shops and some of these established farms. They all got a building where they said, you know what, one day I might need that. So they put it away, and eventually it might get found again 20 years later.
Well, one more thing, Brad, and that is a huge congratulations to all of you at Steffes Group. You have been named Business of the Year by the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce. Congratulations. I hope you get something pretty and shiny for the office for that. Have they told you any more about it?
I tell you, Connor was there and accepted on behalf. Super proud. You know, my 47 years being involved with this company, and it truly is a family company that's grown into a regional and world company. And it's something really to be proud of. And I just need to put kudos out to everybody involved. You know, there's a lot of competition out there. And I truly believe Steffes Group is a great, great company to work for. So super excited for everybody on board. And kudos to everybody that was involved.
Brad, thanks so much for taking time to visit with us while you're traveling. Folks, don't forget to check out steffesgroup.com for their website. Addison is scrolling the list of upcoming sales and auctions, and it's extensive. There's something there for everyone. We'll be back shortly after our bottom of the hour news break. We'll be joined by Ray Grabansky with Progressive Ag. Don't forget to give us calls if you have them with questions. You can reach us on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Our time today is flying by because there are so many excellent things for us to be talking about. And the next one would include our guest, Ray Grabansky with Progressive Ag. Progressive Ag is part of our Here We Grow project this year. And, well, we're raising wheat. So it'll be exciting to see not only how our wheat progresses, but maybe the commodity market. So, Ray, would you please introduce yourself as well as Progressive Ag to listeners who may not be familiar with you?
Sure. Ray Grabansky. I'm a president of Progressive Ag. We're a small firm here in Fargo, North Dakota, who just consistently beats those Chicago Board of Trade traders year after year in helping farmers market their grain.
Okay. This is not like, when you say a small company, but it's not new. Y'all have been in business for quite some time. You've got a few years of expertise behind you.
Yes, since I think it was 1992, we started the firm. And, so we've been working with farmers. We have a brokerage firm, and we have it's now a separate business where we provide marketing advice to farmers And then, we execute the trades through our brokerage firm. And then we have a crop insurance agency, which is becoming bigger and bigger all the time. You know, this year we had a new product, ECO, that is being subsidized at 65%. And, you know, this is a year that farmers really have to play defense because the market isn't presenting a lot of great opportunities. But I think, frankly, things are going to improve over the next 3 years from where we are now.
Now, Ray, you mentioned crop insurance, and you know, the last few years we've been, I'll call it lucky for most of us in terms of we haven't had a lot of weather impacts in terms of severe weather. This year is supposed to be a little different. We're supposed to have a more active severe weather season, including hail, these periods of very heavy rainfall at times. How does that impact prices? If you haven't purchased insurance yet, crop insurance yet for hail damage, wind damage, whatnot, is it too late, or how are the prices on that as well?
Well, as far as the multi-peril products in the ECO, SCO, that all has to be purchased by March 15th.
Okay.
Of course, right now we're in the process of selling hail and wind insurance as a supplemental product. A lot of producers in North Dakota don't know what kind of year they're going to have, so they usually wait until late May and June. If the crop is good, you know, they have a crop better than their 75% coverage on their crop insurance, then they'll insure that last 25%. So actually, so far, the season has been fantastic. We have some very good wheat crops. Western North Dakota had, you know, 3 to 5 inch rains so far in May, and it's actually salvaged them. One guy told me this winter, boy, this looks like an insurance year for me, but I think they've gotten 3 to 5 inches of rain this month.
That's helped, yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous, and actually I think the spring wheat crop looks great here. Actually, you know, I look at the markets haven't done much in the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks, fluctuate down, fluctuate up, but I think they really want to go higher. I think a lot of these trade deals that Trump is forcing on people by threatening tariffs like he did with the EU, I think it's only going to help U.S. ag. And I think the market knows that when these deals are announced, like the UK one that was announced not too long ago, it's going to help American farmers a lot. But we have to survive until then. And how long will it take? That's the question.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, and you said that wheat looks really good right now, and it does. I mean, I think our quality on our wheat is going to be outstanding. When the Pro Farmer Wheat Tour starts later this summer, how does that impact the market? Does it make a big difference, do you think, Ray? Or if you're planning ahead and you're already, you know, buying out into the market, you've already cushioned against that?
Actually, we run a yield model week by week. So right now we have a winter wheat yield model. And so we really don't wait for a report like the Pro Farmer thing, although that is a nice check on our estimate so far. For example, in winter wheat, we have a 53.2 bushel yield estimate right now. And frankly, from the beginning of the year, that expanded about a bushel and a half. Last week, it was down a little bit for the first time. So the winter wheat crop is running into some issues right now, mainly too wet in the eastern part of the winter wheat and too dry in the western part, like western Kansas. So something's happening there, and it's running into a little roadblock, so maybe it won't be as good as we think.
Well, in western Kansas, down through Oklahoma and western Texas, they're in pretty bad drought conditions, and that's not expected to really improve throughout the rest of the spring and summer. So I'm sure that'll impact prices as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's very odd because it rained a lot in the eastern part. Eastern Oklahoma has been very wet. Mm-hmm. Now they're talking about disease developing because they're too wet. Mm-hmm. You just go 75, 100 miles west, and they're just dry. They would love to get an inch or two of that moisture that's falling into these. So sometimes those extremes can pressure the crop. But I think, though, the markets want to go higher. If you look at soybeans, they have been slowly climbing higher. And, you know, we're up a buck, I think, from the lows, which were a couple months ago. But we always say bottoms last months and tops last minutes. And actually, we've been down here at these low prices for months. The most positive thing that can happen is We kind of stabilize here through summer, and I think we're going to start going up. Particularly, I think that the U.S. economy, but a lot of people talk about recession, and and the economic experts have been predicting recession, and they've successfully predicted, you know, 94 recessions for the last three actual recessions that happened. The point being, they predict recession all the time.
They get them wrong.
That doesn't happen. And actually, you know, economically, I see a lot of very positive things happening. So I think that there's some experts that'll be wrong again.
So back to your mention on soybeans, because I've watched a trend of less soybeans being planted right now. We've got folks looking for sunflower seed. They're putting more dry beans in. Everyone's looking for the alternative crop. So maybe soybeans come back and are a bit of a sleeper by the time we get to harvest, right?
Actually, that's a good point. Especially in North Dakota, we can raise those alternatives like sunflowers and dry beans. And price-wise, those were great alternatives. We were all looking for something that would maybe at least break even this year because it was a loss on everything else. But what are they talking? 4 million acres shifted from soybeans. We haven't finished. Mm-hmm. We haven't actually got the planted acreage. We get that at the end of June. And I would guess that with an early planting year, we're going to have a little more shift toward corn even than they predicted in March. So with that 4 million that they predicted in March, they're already down to a 290 million bushel carryout for the United States.
Sure.
And that ending stocks is starting to get somewhat tight. Just a year ago, they were talking 500 million bushel carryout for the next 5 or 6 years. And so now at 290, if we just get one bushel an acre threatened, now you are down to 200. So that's going to make for a very, very exciting soybean market if there's some weather problems this summer.
So here in North Dakota, if we look at the potential for our soybean acreage numbers to have dropped, but we have two crush plants that have come online within the last 18 months, could we potentially see a better outlook for our soybeans than the rest of the U.S.? Because my whole career I've always heard, we certainly want it to be a wreck in South America, so we have a good year here, but maybe we just want to think about North Dakota and our region right now.
Well, certainly, regardless of how good the U.S. soybean crop is, the fact that we have those two soybean plants in North Dakota is going to help the basis. And so far, we haven't seen the basis. That's the difference between the futures market and our local cash market. Normally, you know, we're 60 cents to a dollar under in North Dakota from the Chicago Board of Trade futures market. But I would think that that basis would improve 10 to 20 cents a bushel, particularly those areas close to those soybean plants. And that's the second thing is then you, if you add 10 or 20 cents to the basis, that's all added to the bottom line. You know, that's added to the profit bottom line. But if we can threaten the crop at some point this summer and make the trade even think there's a possibility of a 200 million bushel carryout, then certainly you could see soybeans move up $1, $2 very easily.
You know, we have listeners that watch us on Acres TV as well as follow along on Facebook and YouTube on our channels. And they're from all over the U.S. So from Progressive Ag's standpoint, it's not just about what happens in North Dakota, as our radio listeners might be listening, but you're watching across the U.S., and you probably have customers all the way across the U.S. as well, correct?
That is correct, and even outside the U.S. But actually, yeah, for weather, I have to look at mainly the Corn Belt and the surrounding areas here in the summer. And, of course, in the winter, Brazil and Argentina are the two areas that move the markets. But I've noticed a phenomena this year. Normally, weather is the only thing that affects the market. And this year we've got a little variation, especially in May, June, and July. You get such a huge change in production potential. Like in 2012, we lost 25% of a normal U.S. crop in 2.5 months. So there's a huge change in potential there. So that is so important. But this year we've had good weather, and the market has really struggled to go lower. In the case of corn and soybeans, it has a little, or corn and wheat, it has a little. Soybeans, it actually has drifted higher despite early planting across the entire United States and relatively decent weather. We have a winter wheat crop estimate that's about 1.5 bushel above trend, and yet the market is struggling to go lower, which is surprising.
Why do you think?
I think that if you look at the like a 5-year chart, we've gone down for 3 years. Prices are already at what I think are historically low levels. And actually, we measure everything in terms of the dollar. If you took gold and figured out how many bushels of grain, how many bushels of wheat you can buy with 1 ounce of gold, I mean, one or how many bushels of corn you can buy with 1 ounce of gold. Mm-hmm. Gold is at $3,300 right now.
I was just going to say, for reference, it's $3,300.
That's the all-time 6,000-year high in gold. We're up almost 50% from just a year ago. If you measure grains in terms of gold, how many bushels you can buy, it is at unusual lows, unusual market lows. It's never been anywhere close to this low. So essentially, if you measure it in terms of gold, we're giving grain away at current prices, which is astounding if you think about that. In terms of the dollar, we're at basically 5-year lows in wheat and relatively low. I think the market is already very low, and it's waiting for something to indicate the prices are going to go up, and I think a lot of people will be buying then.
Do you think a lot of the trade deals that the current administration is trying to do would is eventually going to help?
Trying to do is very important. First of all, the big dog is China. And we already saw the United Kingdom agree to allow beef into the United Kingdom. Quite honestly, we've been locked out of the European Union market for 30 years or more.
Wow.
The last crop we've really exported at a major amount was sunflowers. And they eliminated that. And they don't just have tariffs. If we could get a 50% tariff on U.S. ag products into all of Europe, we would sell them like crazy. But they have barriers that prevent anything from coming in at any economic level. And that's the problem. We've been locked out of that market. And, Trump talks about the tariffs on automobiles, that we can buy European automobiles, but they won't actually allow us to hardly sell them there. But it's way worse in agriculture, way worse.
And yes.
Do you see that changing then?
Well, at least when you threaten them, when you say, hey, we're going to throw 50% tariffs on unless you negotiate some better deal, at least it can change.
Okay.
And I think that when you look at China, we had negotiated a trade deal with them in the first Trump administration, and we started selling a lot more corn and wheat as they were meeting those obligations, and then a new administration came, and it went away. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Biden did nothing to enforce it. And, of course, COVID came. But if we go back to the original agreement they agreed on, grain prices are going to go higher because we're going to sell a lot more corn and wheat, just like we've been selling, soybeans over the last decade or so. So that's great possibilities. Great possibilities there.
Good.
There's going to be so much to watch over the next few years. Well, I shouldn't even say years, just the next few months as we watch what our growing season does, what our yield potential does, what our markets are going to do. And I know that Ray is going to be back a couple more times to help us assess that situation and do a little forecasting, because you just never know when you might need to do something like call Progressive Ag and talk to those folks. Ray, if folks want to reach out to you, what's your website, et cetera?
Our website is progressiveag.com. Actually, we have we do a 10-minute video every Saturday morning on Acres TV. You can find it by looking for 10-Minute Marketer, and it's fantastic. It's the best 10 minutes of marketing information on the planet each week.
I like that now we get to promote two different items on Acres TV today, Progressive Ag and us. And oh, that iPad just made all the balloons go. Oh, shoot. Okay, I got to stop using hand signals. All right, you guys, we'll be back right after this.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:55 in the afternoon. And we've got some thunder boomers on radar just starting to really pop up here. We've got some, looks like some small hail producing thunderstorm cells here just to the southwest of Sabin, moving east northeastward. This will affect areas of far south Fargo, Briarwood, Frontier area. We've also got some, those will also affect areas around Horace here over the next 30 to 35 minutes. Again, could see some pea-sized hail with those. Also, some more storms out in Lakes Country.
moving eastward or westward, I should say, towards Fargo. So again, if you look to the east, you'll see those darkening of the clouds. And again, keeping a close eye on one cell just southwest of Sabin, moving west-northwestward towards far south Fargo, between far south Fargo and Horace. So look out for the possibility of a little pea-sized hail and some brief heavy rain as these thunderstorms continue to develop with the heating of the day. And we'll see these kind of hit-and-miss storms throughout the afternoon, Bridget. So might, you know, some areas will see nothing at all. Some will see a quick downpour of rain, and then the sun comes back out. So if you're heading out this afternoon, just grab that umbrella. You might need it over the next 3 to 4 hours as these thunderstorms continue to increase a little bit in coverage. And again, they're coming in from Lakes Country. And again, that's not something we often see around here, but that's the case that we've got today. So over the next 35, 40 minutes, areas around Fargo and especially South Fargo, down towards Horace, going to see some showers and thunderstorms here. And again, some of those could contain a little pea-sized hail with them.
Well, and hopefully not a lot, because that little pea-sized hail can be tough on new plants that have just
yes.
emerged, like soybeans.
Uh-huh.
So let's not do that.
No
and
doubt.
I also prefer not to see torn up corn leaves, that type of thing.
Right. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything more with radar here, anything more than that little pea-sized hail. So, okay. It would be brief. These are kind of hit and miss storms, so nothing. We're not expecting anything widespread. But again, that storm just west southwest of Sabin here continues to kind of what we call pulse up or increase a little bit. So areas Frontier, Briarwood, Horace, and just north of Comstock, those areas kind of under the gun for brief heavy rain. And again, some possible little pea size hail with that, but that'd be about it. And then again, there's more out in Lakes Country that'll be moving westward here throughout the afternoon. So a little bit of rainfall if you have any outdoor activities planned for later this afternoon.
Oh, and there's a lot of activities that are yet to come. We did not get a chance to talk about gluten and potentially that change. So it makes breads and so forth great for celiacs. We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Yes.
And in fact, I'm also working with our guests tomorrow. They're going to be in the field. So we're going to quick find out how to get a hold of them, because Higher AgriDrone Service is going to join us. And I know that's a hot topic of conversation for many. So be here tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Jay Thomas Show is next.